Welcome to our weekly radio teleconference for April 24th. And this week on the Senate floor, we're essentially considering two bills. The first is the Postal Reform Act. This bill is seeking to give the Postal Service the necessary authorities to avoid insolvency. Frankly, the post office is rapidly reaching a point where it will not be able to stay afloat if we don't allow and engage in some reforms. A number of the provisions in the bill are that it will reduce the positions in the post office by over 100,000 positions over the next 3 years. It will require for the first time that arbitrators rendering binding decisions in labor disputes consider the financial condition of the Postal Service. It overhauls the federal workers' compensation program across the entire federal government. It authorizes the Postal Service to convert delivery from the front door to the curb where that's practical and cost-effective. And it encourages the Postal Service to engage in other appropriate business reform measures to cut internal costs and requires the Postal Service to focus on cutting internal costs first rather than undertaking activities that will drive away customers or hike the prices of postal services. I expect that this legislation will pass in the Senate, although there is significant opposition to it from those who believe, that a different approach should be taken. And it'll be an interesting debate as we move forward in the Senate this week. The second bill that the Senate will be considering is the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization. I am the lead Republican on this legislation. I joined with Senator Leahy to introduce this legislation. And it's historically been a bipartisan bill, which essentially puts into place a number of the necessary protections to protect those who are victims in their own home, often, against domestic violence. Historically, like I said, this has been a bipartisan bill. I believe these are critical programs that need to be reauthorized, and I'm going to be a strong advocate for it. There is also some conflict relating to this bill, although it relates to measures or portions of the bill that are not directly related to the core purposes of the bill. There are some immigration provisions in the bill that are being criticized, and there are some expansions of jurisdiction in Indian tribal territory that are being criticized. And so there will be some debates over the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. But I believe in the end that we will be able to improve the act and move it forward for a final vote in the Senate that will be a strong vote. And with that, let me stop. And on my list first today is Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts on stopping a reset of Stafford loan interest rates? I believe they're set to double at the end of June. Have you given any thoughts as to what your position would be on that?
On the Stafford loan interest rates?
Correct.
I do not have a specific understanding of why they are set to double, and have not, frankly, I'll have to get in and study that further, frankly. I would assume that it would be best if they were not allowed to double. I think that the one thing that we need to do is to help try to keep the costs of education low. And if we can do so but not cause the program to operate at unjustifiable deficit levels, then I believe that the interest rates should not be allowed to rise. But like I say, I don't understand I'm not aware of the reason for the proposed increase in the rates at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next is Jay with us, or Mike from KINF. All right, George? Jason? All right, then Leslie, you're next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are waiting up here, waiting word, any word, on the status of the Secure Rural Schools Act. Since we are 92% federally owned land in this county, it's very important. Where is it?
Well, we have a number of efforts underway to try to move that forward, and I frankly think that we will be able to accomplish that, although, as you know, every reauthorization period, we run into the problem of trying to find the necessary funding for it, and since it has not been permanently authorized, that requires that in a difficult budget climate like this that we find other offsets. We have been very close on a number of occasions to getting that put together, but it hasn't been done yet. The best I can tell you is at this point I remain confident that it will, and we are going to move forward and continue pushing until that's achieved.
Possibly related question?
Uh-huh.
The western states, now Utah and Arizona, have actually passed legislation demanding the return of the federal land within the state. Others are considering it, including Idaho, rumor has it. Is this a realistic thing?
In all candor, I think that there is some merit to some of these proposals, and I have heard of some, and I'll mention one, that is coming from Idaho. And I'm actually working hard to see if we can't get something worked into the Secure Rural Schools legislation in terms of a trial program. I don't think that the outright sale of the land or release of the land in terms of title to the land back to the states has much of a chance in this Congress simply because of the political makeup of the Congress. However, the proposal that is being made by some in Idaho is that the state and or the counties where they have such high levels of land ownership, of federal land ownership, be authorized to manage the federal land on behalf of the federal government, and that the revenues from that could then be utilized for the Secure Rural Schools program or other programs. And the proposal is very clear that whether it be the state or the counties that would manage these lands, that they would manage them in compliance with all federal law, just like the federal government does, and achieve all of the necessary environmental targets and mandates that is required by federal law. As you might guess, there is opposition from a number of quarters to anything like that because there has been a strong opposition for years against allowing the states to have more control over the management of these lands. But I believe that there is an opportunity now for this issue to be raised again, even if it's on a pilot program basis, to see if we can't find a way to achieve the same level of management of the federal lands, but to do so in a way that will actually generate the necessary revenue that the counties lack because of the impact of the federal ownership on their tax basis.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Now, is there anybody else on the line? Okay. I appreciate everybody, and we'll look forward to next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.